Good afternoon.
This is the Senate Finance Committee. We are in Juneau in the Capitol in room 532. It is 1:35. With me at the table, Senator Dunleavy. Welcome. Myself, Senator McKinnon. We have the Capitol budget in front of us again today. We will hear from the courts, and then we'll take a brief at ease to hear SB 5, Restitution, Property and Income Loss, sponsored by Senator Machicki. With that, if you could identify yourself for the record and proceed with the court system's capital budget request. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, member of the committee. My name is Doug Wolliver. I'm the Deputy Administrative Director for the Alaska Court System. We just have two projects that we are asking the legislature to fund this year. The first one is $6.6 million for a total of three new courtrooms, one courtroom in Juneau and two courtrooms in the courthouse in Palmer. The Juneau courthouse, we have five judicial officers in Juneau and we have five courtrooms. And although that may sound just exactly right, Juneau is a very busy court, and oftentimes judges from around the state, both retired and acting judges, travel to Juneau to handle cases. These would be cases where one of the resident judges has a conflict, either a time or they've been peremptorily challenged off of a case. In any event, judges routinely travel here to hear cases, to move them along in Juneau. The trouble is with five courtrooms and five judges, as well as on Fridays we have grand jury proceedings, so there are four courtrooms available. The only time a judge can come to Juneau to cover for a Juneau judge is if one of the Juneau judges is out of town for some reason. And that's hard to schedule. We've asked for this, I think this is our third year in a row asking for this project. If we had one more courtroom in the Diamond Courthouse, we could much more efficiently use the judicial resources we have. We could handle more cases without adding any extra judges. Similarly, in Palmer, Palmer has eight courtrooms and nine judicial officers, which makes scheduling there extra challenging as well. This request for these two new courtrooms doesn't increase the number of judges we have, but it does allow us to use the judges we have much more efficiently and allows us to move cases much more quickly. Palmer, as you know, is in the fastest growing region of the state. We opened the Palmer Courthouse in 1983 with one Superior Court judge. Today we have four Superior Court judges, three District Court judges, and two magistrates. And although the caseload there doesn't necessarily grow every year, it's grown steadily over time, and we anticipate it to continue to grow steadily. The projections for the Valley are continued growth, and that growth ends up being reflected in court cases filed in the Palmer Courthouse. With the additional courtrooms, we can manage more cases, move them more quickly, but we aren't asking for any new judges. Some of the coverage for Palmer routinely comes from Anchorage. It's easy to cover Palmer from Anchorage. We don't need judges yet, but two new courtrooms would help a lot.
Mr. Wolver, if you could just pause for one moment. I wanted to welcome Senator Olson and Senator Hoffman. They've both been here for some time. Just wanted to get that on the record. And let the general public know that the reason that we're a little bit short today is that our energy committee is meeting, and so I have three individuals from finance that are on energy. It looks like we're just now being joined by Senator Bishop, so energy must be letting out as we speak. So anyway, just wanted the general public to know that our members are trying to do double duty today to accomplish the people's business. With that, please proceed. Welcome, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our second request is for court security. We are asking for $2.2 million for court security. Over the last several years, we have slowly improved security in our courthouses around the state. In all of our multi-judge locations, we have security screening. And in almost all of our other locations, we've made at least some improvements over time. Dress alarms, more security cameras, better exterior lighting, a more secure court clerk benches, and things like that. What we're looking for here is out of this $2.2 million, some of this would go to the improved security in the Anchorage Coconut pretrial, where we actually have a courtroom in the jail. This would provide better screening for the judge in that location. We have several changes we'd like to make to the Kotzebue Courthouse. One of the changes for both Kotzebue, Kodiak, and Nome is improved address alarm systems. Right now in those locations, the address alarm, if you hit a address alarm, it notifies local law enforcement, but it doesn't give them much information about what's going on in the courthouse. With the improved court security address alarm software, which we're asking for, you can add information. So you can type in, you know, shooter in courtroom B, or disturbance in a domestic violence hearing, or something like that. Plus, it also allows all the other people in the building to be aware that the alarm has gone off, or a duress alarm has been pushed. So those upgrades would be in Kodiak, Nome, and Kotzebue. Where also, this money would go towards a new secure prisoner transport elevator in Ketchikan. Right now in Ketchikan, when prisoners come in, they go up the public elevator, they walk down the public hallways. This not only creates a security risk, but it creates a problem for potential problem for jurors. Jurors aren't supposed to see prisoners coming in shackled prior to their jury trials. So you need to keep prisoners and jurors separate. You need to keep prisoners separate from members of the public. So those are some of the projects we would do. We would increase closed circuit cameras in Kodiak, and also there a segregated prisoner delivery system. There are a whole bunch of large and small security projects that we have. Those are our two projects, but both projects can be divided up as well. We are asking for three new courtrooms, but we are asking for one courtroom in Juneau and two courtrooms in Palmer. The legislature could fund one or both of those or none of them. And in addition, this security, we're asking for $2.2 million in security, but we can use any amount of money for security. We could use $2 million, we could use $1.5 million, we could use $500,000. Whatever you can provide us, we can use. Security is sometimes big projects and sometimes very small projects.
Thank you, Mr. Wolliver. Well, there are questions. I did want to welcome Senator Michicki to the table. He's been here for a little bit. And Senator Michicki, Senator Bishop, we did, for all those that just got here a little bit ago, we did let the public know that you were in the Energy Committee and trying to do double duty today. So thank you so much for all those members who came up the stairs rather quickly.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You had made a comment just a little previously that the jurors can't see shackled prisoners. Did you say that?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, they're not supposed to see the prisoners coming and going in prison garb and shackled together. That's correct.
Is that, excuse me, a follow-up?
Certainly.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Is that a policy call by the court system, or is that a state law or federal law or civil rights law? Something, you know, got it?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, the idea is that it prejudices the jury against the defendant if they see them shackled and looking like dangerous people. So the idea, normally when you come in as a juror, you'll see the defendant already seated at the table. You try to avoid seeing them being transported.
Thank you.
Mr. Wolfer, I wanted to make sure that you knew that Rhonda McLeod is online from the court system and available for help. Senator Dunleavy?
Through the chair, if these capital requests are not funded this year, and before you answer, we're asking all these people this, all the departments this question, we're getting pretty good feedback that says that the world won't end in most cases. If these capital requests are not funded this year, will the world end for your particular department?
Through the chair, no, it won't. It won't end.
Appreciate that. And we do understand that you've identified a need that needs to take place and be taken care of, but it's good to know. Thank you.
Mr. Wolliver, could you tell the committee why the governor didn't include any of these appropriations in the current budget?
Madam Chair, governors have, to my knowledge, always included at least some of our capital projects in the governor's capital bill. For the operating budget, the governor passes through our request directly to you. Just the operating budget includes legislative requests as well as the judicial branch requests and the executive branch requests. He just passes through, he or she just passes through our request. But for the capital budget, historically, the governor has always edited our request to you. We may submit 5 or 6 or 8 capital requests, and the governor might include 2 or 3 in the budget. This year, we weren't alerted as to the reason why, but none of our projects were included in the any of the capital budgets that have been submitted so far.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that my committee was aware that the governor hadn't included those, so it's a bit unusual that it's a bit unusual to talk to projects that weren't included in the governor's budget by the particular department, but this was important enough that it's been asked for multiple years, so we're bringing it to the committee. But as Senator Dunleavy, I'll give him credit for the words, if the sky is not falling, or if this is a year that we don't at the end of the world, if it's not the end of the world, it's very difficult this year with the revenue shortfall that we're facing to add things to the budget. But still wanted to make sure that the courts had an opportunity to present their needs. Security absolutely is vital to our court system. Senator Olson, did you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It has to do with security. Mr. Wolliver, as you look at some of the issues that where security is highlighted, is Kotzebue, Kodiak, and Nome. Has there been a breach of security that would prompt you to go ahead and ask for this amount of money in order to revamp or go ahead and add to it?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, no, this is part of our long-term efforts to just upgrade the security in each of our court locations, but we've had no situations in any of these locations that prompted the request.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Is there any other questions from committee members? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The public safety and the correction budget are using less in prison transportation and more in court hearings via teleconference and FaceTime. As a result of this, does the court have the necessary equipment to perform these functions?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we do in the court locations where they're currently using video arraignments and things like that, but we are constantly working to expand our video conference capabilities so that we can do more and more. It's part of both our operating budget long-term plans as well as corrections and public safety. We're working to expand all of our video conference capabilities, both for prisoner transport and for judicial hearings and other things where prisoners aren't the only thing.
So the answer is you have the necessary equipment to conduct that, or do you need additional equipment for these additional cost savings and corrections and public safety?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I believe the areas where they're looking at now, we have the capabilities.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. How is the funding that the legislature provided to the courts last year for security? How's that working out for you?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, in our operating budget last year, the legislature provided us with $100,000 of additional security money. Our long-term goal is to have court screening in each of our court locations, even our single-judge locations, but that's a pretty expensive project. What we got last year was $100,000, and what we're using that for is we have a kind of a roving court security person who travels to our rural courts that don't have court screening, that don't have security guards at the front door, and sets up a temporary screening situation for high-profile cases or any case where they believe there may be a risk to either a litigant or for some reason to believe it's a particularly dangerous situation, and that's what that money went for, and that person travels around going to different locations.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Are there any further questions on the court's capital budget request that is not included in the governor's budget? Seeing and hearing none, thank you so much for coming to the table.
Well, thank you for hearing the court.
We appreciate the information. With that, we'll take a brief at ease while we prepare to introduce to the Senate Finance Committee Senate Bill Number 5. Brief at ease. The Senate Finance Committee is back in session. Before the committee is Senate Bill Number 5. It's by Senator Michicki, and it's an act relating to loss of income and valuing property for orders of restitution. Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, thank you for hearing this bill today. Property theft crime in Alaska is a real scourge to Alaskans and small businesses. According to the Department of Public Safety's annual report, Crime in Alaska 2013, Alaskans suffered over $23 million in loss due to property crimes that year, up more than 12% from 2011. Senate Bill 5 strengthens Alaska's restitution laws to restore crime victims to a pre-offense condition whenever possible. By resolving an inconsistency between restitution considerations as a provision of sentencing and as a provision of probation, which can result in businesses affected by crime not receiving just compensation for loss of income in restitution orders. I want to make it clear this bill does not result in longer prison sentences. It simply helps the victim to be returned to a pre-crime condition as a provision of probation. So it makes it clear for the courts that our public policy favors requiring criminals to compensate victims for their loss, which includes loss of income, and it defines a loss of income as a total loss of income as a business or person may lose due to not having stolen property available for the period of time it takes to replace that property. It also gives direction to the courts in making determinations of loss for restitution to value property as the market value of the property, adopting current determination of value language in our criminal law statutes, which is used by the courts to make determinations of value in criminal cases. So a theft of property involves a loss to the owner much greater than the actual cost of the item itself, and I use a contractor's loss of a roll of copper wire, which may be $2,500 for the copper. If that wire is located in a remote job site, there could be another $10,000 or $20,000 in costs due to transportation, lengthy work schedule delays, and other issues while awaiting replacement of the stolen property. Senate Bill 5 also addresses a recent appellate court decision, Welsh versus State of Alaska, which we believe adversely affects restorative justice principles and will be quite harmful to Alaskans and small business owners. In Welsh, the appellate court overruled a lower court decision awarding a market value restitution to a victim of property theft, stating the crime victim's loss of income should not be considered. The court felt that it represented an unjust enrichment of the crime victim. So I have a little story to tell you, Madam Chair, and that this is in my district last year. We had a rash of drug-related property crimes. In one case, a water well drilling rig was damaged for the value of the copper wire. They wanted the copper. They took the welding leads, they yanked out the wiring harness. A pretty substantial amount of damage. That crime could just be charged on the crime and not the fact that that family was essentially put out of business for the next couple of months because they had no use of their only rig they had available for drilling water wells. This bill helps correct that. And it's about restoring crime victims to a pre-offense condition, protects small businesses and property interests of all Alaskans. And I'm going to turn this over now, return to my seat, and turn this over for a sectional analysis to my trusty staff, Chuck Kopp.
Mr. Kopp, if you could identify yourself for the record, and I'd ask the committee to turn to their folders to the section bill analysis, the sectional.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Chuck Kopp, staff to Senator Machicki. This deals with Title 12, the Code of Criminal Procedure, Chapter 55, which addresses sentencing and probation, in Section 45, which deals with restitution orders as a provision of one's sentence. And as Senator Machicki said, one of the issues we're addressing here is the inconsistency between restitution considerations as a provision of sentencing and restitution as a provision of one's probation, which does result in interpretations which can be harmful to business and personal restoration of crime victims. So what Section 1 does is it clarifies that our public policy in restitution orders requires criminals to compensate their victims not only for damages and injury, but for loss of income as well. And Madam Chair, Section 1255.045, this section of the law, we're not adding in something new here. Loss of income is actually addressed in subsection D. It says in subsection D, in any case, including a case in which the defendant is convicted of a violation of theft 1 through 4 and the property is commercial fishing gear, the court shall consider the victim's loss, and the order of restitution may include compensation for loss of income. It's interesting, there was some good advocacy legislation. We got to, if it's a commercial fisherman's gear theft, which, theft of gear, obviously there's a loss of income there. But it clearly says in any case, and it names that as one example, that the court will consider loss of income. So what we've done is we've used that language, we've pulled it up to top where it's stating the public policy priorities and naming it right up top so that the court can clearly see that the legislative body considers loss of income to be a real loss. In Section 2, Madam Chair, we amend 1255.045 N, which is the definition section, by adding the term loss of income and defining it as the total loss of income a business or person suffers as a result of not having stolen property available during the time it takes to obtain a replacement. Section 3 adds a new definition to this section, loss of income, being defined, and additionally directs the courts in making determinations of loss or damage for restitution to value property as the market value of the property at the time and place of the crime, or if that cannot be reasonably ascertained, the cost of replacement within a reasonable time after the crime. This language was adopted from our current Title 11 criminal law statutes, where they use that in AS 1146-980 to make determinations of value for violations of the criminal law. So in crimes of theft, arson, property damage, and loss, this is the language they actually use. Section 4, Madam Chair, is dealing with restitution orders as a condition of probation. So now we've moved on from restitution as a condition of sentencing. Now we're talking about restitution as a provision of probation. And in this section, it clarifies how the court will value property when determining the amount of actual damage or loss under this paragraph, and applies the same standard as in Section 3 above, that property will be valued as the market value of the property at the time and place of the crime, or if it cannot reasonably established, the cost of replacement within a reasonable time after the crime. So it reconciles the restitution order under probation and the restitution order under sentencing, and it gives them a common standard so there is not an inconsistency. And in the case that Senator Michicki quoted earlier, Welsh v. State, the court pointed out this, and they said, under a provision of sentence, there really isn't a limit beyond actual damage or loss. You could include more. But as a condition of probation, it's more restrictive, and it seems to speak to only actual damage or loss. And the court in that case said, you know, we do need this clarified. And so this bill does just that. It reconciles the two, makes it clear that loss of income is a real loss that people suffer and businesses suffer, and it allows that to be a public policy consideration of the court in establishing a restitution order. And finally, Madam Chair, Section 5 just establishes that amendments in Sections 1 through 4 of the Act apply to an order of restitution for an offense committed on or after the effective date of the Act. This bill is strongly supported by utility companies, the NFIB Alaska chapter, Associated General Contractors of Alaska, Alaska Chamber of Commerce, Alcan Electrical and Engineering, and the Orion Marine Group. There are letters of support in the packet for the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Kopp. I did see those letters of recommendation. I just would put on the record that my husband signed one of those, and I know of no personal benefit of income that would be received by him for that. Are we ready to open the public hearing? Senator Olson.
Actually, the question I have is, I can understand what contractors and people that do invest in large purchases like this, and they're expensive, obviously, they'd be in favor of it. Is there anybody opposed to it?
Through the Chair, Senator Olson, we have not run into anybody opposed to the bill yet.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
With that, I'd like to open the public hearing on Senate Bill Number 5, an act relating to loss of income and valuing property for orders of restitution. The public hearing is open. Is there anyone online? Is there anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Bill Number 5? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senate Bill 5 is in front of the committee. Are there any questions from committee members? Any discussion? Senator Michicki, if I could have you walk the committee through the fiscal notes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You'll find three fiscal notes in your packet. The reason we're before finance today, we had two other committees of reference. Originally, the public defenders began with an indeterminate note until they kind of worked through the issue and understood what the bill did, and they arrived at a zero fiscal note. So we have three fiscal notes, starting with fiscal note one, dated February 20th, 2015, from the Department of Administration, Legal and Advocacy Services, Office of Public Advocacy, OMB component number 43. It's a zero fiscal note with no supplemental or capital budget impacts. The next is fiscal note three, dated February 20th, from the Department of Law, Criminal Division, Criminal Justice Litigation, OMB component number 2202. It's a zero fiscal note with no supplemental or capital budget impacts. And finally, we have the new fiscal note number four, dated 3/11/15, from the Department of Administration, Legal and Advocacy Services, Public Defender Agency, OMB component number 1631. It's a zero fiscal note with no supplemental or capital budget impacts.
Are there any questions on the fiscal notes? Senator Olson.
Are the fiscal notes all inclusive of the court system?
Ms. Mead, could you approach the microphone and provide us any feedback? Ms. Mead is with the court system and available for questions. Ms. Senator Olson, if you could restate the question once Ms. Mead gets to the microphone.
Ms. Mead, thanks for coming up. I look at the fiscal note there and was kind of surprised I guess my real question has to do, is it all inclusive with that? If you do, go ahead and start talking about some of these judgments that are out there, as well as the restitution of loss of income, which is a little bit unusual, at least in most cases that I've been involved with. Can you comment on that?
Through the Chair, Senator Olson, and for the record, this is Nancy Mead, General Counsel for the Alaska Court System. The court system did not submit a fiscal note on this. It would be a zero note. We don't expect any impact. This, at the end of every criminal case, restitution is required by statute. It says the court shall order restitution. If they know who the victims are at the time of sentencing, they can do it then. But there is a second statute. If they don't know, they do it as a condition of probation. We already hold separate restitution hearings where all sorts of facts can be submitted into evidence and all sorts of things can be considered by the judge. This bill might change some of the considerations that are discussed during those hearings, but we don't expect it to have any true impact on our workload, and that's why there is not a fiscal note from the court system.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Thank you, Ms. Mead. Are there further questions for Ms. Mead? Thank you.
Thank you.
What's the will of the committee? Senator Bishop.
Madam Chairman, I move the Senate Bill 529-LS0109/H from committee with attached fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there any objections to moving Senate Bill number 5? Seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 5 moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the document. Brief at ease. on the record. It is still the Senate Finance Committee. We're still here in Juneau. We're getting ready to adjourn. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Seeing and hearing none, the Senate Finance Committee will reconvene tomorrow morning, Senate Finance 532 at 9 a.m. We'll have the capital budget in front of us and hear from the Department of Administration and Natural Resources on their capital budget requests. In the afternoon at 1:30, we'll take up confirmation hearings for the State Assessment Review Board and for the Fishermen's Fund Advisory and Appeals Council. With that, we're adjourned.